So tonight we are concluding our first unit with the last three steps on the Noble Eightfold Path, the concentration factors. And so I'll offer just a brief review for those of you who may not have made the other two talks on the Noble Eightfold Path, or for those of you who did, I'm always comforted by a little review. You'll get that a lot in Buddhism. So these path factors all work together in a kind of spiral, supporting and nurturing each other. And we began with the first two factors, the wisdom factors. That of wise understanding, seeing clearly the four noble truths, and the suffering described as clinging to the aggregates, those five heaps that make up the self. They are always changing and so unreliable and not worth clinging to. We also spoke about wise intention from the wisdom factors. And the Buddha recommended three intentions for following the path. The first being renunciation, just letting go of what no longer serves us, and walking the path with a lighter load. He also recommends cultivating metta on the path, or loving kindness or goodwill, and compassion or non-harming or these are good intentions with which to step on the Eightfold Path. And then we covered the three ethical or virtuous factors of wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood. Here we're asked to do the best we can, starting by practicing with the small stuff, and then perhaps discovering creative ways to deal with the larger stuff. Tonight, we cover the concentration factors of wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. Joseph Goldberg says, although it is the wisdom factors that cut through delusion and ignorance, this blade of wisdom is sharpened and finely honed, by these three supporting factors, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. So seeing how the path factors work together. The spiral that connects all the aspects of the path. We don't often talk about the effort involved in our practice. The practice is said to be a simple practice that is not easy, and I think we can all attest to that. But there is effort involved, and it's not like the kind of effort needed to push a car up a hill or that you need for a workout in the gym. But it's more of patience and persistence and determination, the effort that's required. And these are all tools that we have the capacity for, but they must be practiced to gain strength. Effort is the application of energy to prevent the arising of the unwholesome states of greed, that desire, wanting, clinging, greed or hatred, harm and ill will, aversion or delusion, ignorance and boredom. These are states that have the potential to arise whenever the conditions for them appear. Like we visit someone's house and we see something that we've got to have. Or we get fired up about a political issue and perhaps, some ill will arises or aversion. Or maybe we're just sitting on the couch bored at home. So in my early practice, I'm embarrassed to say, I was shocked and disappointed to learn how often my mind went toward criticism and judgment, not just toward myself or toward the people I knew, but to total strangers, complete strangers that I would never see again. It just really took me by surprise. Once I realized this, I decided it was not a wise use of my mind. It was kind of a waste of my time, I figured. A good mindfulness practice helped me to see this propensity. Even though I didn't realize it was going on, I know that it had a negative effect on my well-being. It does not create an environment that is conducive to connecting with others, to kindness, to generosity, or metta. So it's important to recognize the enduring power of latent defilements or unwholesome states, or also called, they're also called fetters, like chains. Once I did begin to notice, and I'll admit, at first I thought I was crazy, going crazy, until I learned that it was quite common to have a judging mind in our culture. And upon noticing, I could choose not to go there anymore. For instance, this is how it often happened. I'd be in the car driving somewhere. I used to drive a lot during the day from to and from different activities. And something on the sidewalk would catch my eye frequently. And I would kind of look off to the side and then look at the road to make sure I was following traffic and the rules. And then I would look back. And that look back just would give me more information to ruminate and think about and criticize some poor person on the side of the road who I thought was either acting strangely or dressed differently. It didn't matter. It just was happening. So what I started doing once I noticed this was when I took that first glance and looked back at the road, that's when I would say to myself, I don't want to go back there. I don't have to know. It's none of my business. And began to stay with my driving, my mindful driving. Wise effort is involved in the understanding of what gives rise to unwholesome states and preventing them from arising and taking hold. And I've noticed that it's not a problem anymore. And I started with the strangers, and once that was under control, I found myself much more open-hearted, kind, and a giving human being. There is great satisfaction derived from the uprooting of the defilements that have been with us for a long time. Rather than beating myself up for still having a judgmental thought, for example, instead I can use this moment as a time of recognizing, sort of an aha moment, and a time of letting go. It's very satisfying. Not wasting that time anymore. Remembering that this is a process. It didn't happen right away. And that we're doing the best we can. And like Kevin said last week, we won't always get it right. I might not notice until after the fact that, oops, there I go again, I slipped. But even that is progress along the path. This is the kind of effort required. This practice has us noticing more, and in that awareness, we get to choose what happens next. A wholesome choice in this moment leads to good mental environment for happiness in the next moment. So without even knowing this principle, I discovered that is what really happened. Simply working with wise effort, I'm a softer, more at ease, more of the time. My heart is open. I am more kind and understanding. There are four conditions when wise effort is called for. The first one is to prevent unwholesome states from arising, kind of like just what I described. The second is to abandon unwholesome states that have already arisen. Mindfulness is the strategy here, becoming aware of the unwholesome state in order to let it go. Just choosing to let it go. I don't want to go there. I really like this image created by Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche. He says, at the present moment, when the defilements are present, the natural clarity of your mind is obscured because of delusions. But as the obscuration clears, you will begin to uncover the radiance of awareness until you reach a point where, just as a line traced in water disappears the moment it's made, your thoughts are liberated the moment they arise. Just as a line traced on water disappears the moment it's made, your thoughts are liberated the moment they arise. We can use wise effort with mindfulness and investigation and experimenting with different ways of abandoning that which is unskillful, which no longer serves us. We have to notice it first. And that's where mindfulness comes in. The third condition for using wise effort is to arouse wholesome states not yet arisen. So what wholesome states? Well, the seven factors of enlightenment. Arousing mindfulness is the first factor. Investigation. Energy or effort, rapture, calm, concentration, and equanimity. These are the seven factors of awakening. To cultivate these factors brings us closer to not suffering. And the fourth condition for wise effort is to maintain and strengthen wholesome states that have already arisen. So using mindfulness once again, just as we want to notice unwholesome states when they arise, so that we can choose not to engage in them, we also want to notice the wholesome states that arise, so we can choose to cultivate and develop them. The Buddha encouraged celebrating our goodness. And that's good news, because we can often get caught up in berating ourselves when we notice the unwholesome states arising. Like me, really? Still? What is the matter with me? But here we're asked to notice or witness the many times a day wholesome states arise, and to water those seeds of goodness with your attention. And those are some of the creative ways to work with wise effort. Moving on to wise mindfulness. Well, we know a lot about mindfulness. The definition is present moment awareness. A clear understanding of what is happening, not listening to a train of thinking. Mindfulness is like a mirror that reflects without distortion whatever is happening before it. Mindfulness is the essential key to practice and progress. Mindfulness is the first factor in the seven factors of awakening. There is a whole sutta on the four foundations of mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutta, that we will be covering in the third unit of the core teachings of the Buddha. It is, the Buddha said, the direct path to enlightenment. The four foundations of mindfulness, not the only path, but the direct path. Cultivating mindfulness through the breath and other sensations of the body, through feeling tones, thoughts, and emotions, and the teachings on impermanence. We strengthen mindfulness in our formal practice so that it'll be more available to us when we're out and about in our daily lives. It is mindfulness that helps awaken us from the dream of our life and start living. Bhikkhu Bodhi says this about mindfulness. In the practice of mindfulness, the mind is trained to remain in the present, open, quiet, and alert, contemplating the present event. All judgments and interpretations have to be suspended, or if they occur, just registered and dropped. The task is simply to note whatever comes up just as it's occurring, riding the changes of events in the way a surfer rides the waves on the sea. The whole process is a way of coming back into the present, of standing in the here and now without slipping away, without getting swept away by the tides of distracting thoughts. To practice mindfulness is thus a matter not so much of doing, but of undoing. Mindfulness plays a big role in our clear seeing, our understanding, and our suffering less. And now moving to wise concentration. The final path factor. We develop wise concentration through the power and continuity of mindfulness. Concentration is mindfulness, directed towards stabilizing attention on a single object. It is an undistractedness, a steadiness of mind that allows wisdom to arise. Concentration is a steadiness and a pliability that gives rise to happiness, and a more enduring state than the happiness of sense pleasures. Concentration brings about increasing clarity of the three characteristics: impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not self. These are the three keys to awareness. The Buddha said, "One who is concentrated understands things as they really are, the process of the arising and passing away of the aggregates." Those heaps, those five heaps associated with the self that we cling to, our bodies, our form, our feeling tones, our thoughts and emotions, our perceptions, our consciousness. But we are not a fixed self. We are a process, a continual flow of physical, mental, and emotional events, new each moment. And this you might remember as the same goal of the first path factor, wise understanding, to not cling to that which is unreliable. So in this way, the path comes full circle again and again, spiraling upward toward liberation. No longer leaning toward that which is impermanent and unreliable. The final goal of concentration being the uprooting of the defilements and an end to suffering. The uprooting of greed, hatred, and delusion. There is nothing permanent to attach to cling to, and nothing permanent to push away. So we can release into perfect peace of mind and perfect happiness. And in closing, Joseph Goldstein says, "Nothing whatsoever is to be clung to as I, me, mine. Whoever has heard this has heard all the teachings." So thank you for that kind attention. And let's just sit for a couple of minutes to let that sink in.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.